This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 17th, Election Day in Illinois. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at how automakers are responding to calls for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser, first to look at today's news. Nearly ideal weather is greeting voters as many communities in Illinois are choosing local leaders. City and village councils, mayor's offices, school boards, and other government bodies are being picked today, and some voters are making their wishes known on referenda, many of them dealing with new or increased taxes. Turnout is traditionally light for consolidated elections, but some races have generated more interest than others in the days leading up to today. The polls are open until 7 tonight, and AM 580 will bring you the results through the evening. The Army officer in charge of destroying the VX nerve agent at the Newport Chemical Depot in Indiana defended his decision to ship VX wastewater to Texas. He made those comments during a public meeting last night. AM 580's Jim Meadows was there.
Colonel Jesse Barber told approximately 70 people gathered at a high school in Clinton, Indiana, that shipping the VX wastewater or hydrolysate to Port Arthur for incineration was a safe way to complete the destruction of the deadly nerve agent at a reasonable cost. Barber said tests had shown that the chemicals formed by VX neutralization would not recombine while awaiting incineration.
We have hydrolysate that was stored for 7 years. We did go back in and do an analysis of that material. It was non-detect for agent after 7 years.
But Elizabeth Crow of the Chemical Weapons Working Group says some employees at the Newport Chemical Depot have told them that hydrolysate tested after small accidental leaks revealed that elements in the wastewater had combined to reform as VX.
If the Army really wants to prove that the storage of the hydrolysate here and then shipment offsite is as safe as they purport, they would surely agree to an independent assessment.
Barber says the trucking of hydrolysate along a route that passes through Illinois will continue until all the VX stored at Newport is destroyed. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The shipment of the wastewater to Port Arthur, Texas, has also gained a vocal critic in Texas. Hilton Kelly is the founder of a local environmental group, the Community In Power and Development Association in Port Arthur. He blames city leaders there for keeping quiet about the Army's plans.
The public should have been given a fair notice about this, and we were not. We are a largely African-American community living at or below the poverty line, and we feel that this community is being taken advantage of, and already there's a disproportionate amount of toxic chemicals being brought to Port Arthur, Texas.
Kelly wants Army officials to come to Port Arthur to explain their plans. He says he wants to stop the wastewater shipments while they're still in the early stages. Illinois lawmakers are coming back to Springfield for the first time since last month. During that time away, they probably got an earful from residents back home regarding several high-profile issues. Sean Crawford has more.
Whether it's the high cost of electricity, a proposed business tax increase, or a statewide smoking ban, there's a lot to talk about. The General Assembly left the electric rate issue on the table before leaving the Capitol. Negotiations are expected to resume as there seems to be growing support for rate relief. Electric customers in some areas have seen their monthly bills double and even triple since new rates took effect the first of the year. Governor Rod Blagojevich has spent the past several days touting his plan for taxing gross receipts. He says it will raise billions for schools and health care, but business groups and even some high-ranking Democrats oppose it. They say it will raise prices and hurt the state's economy. Hearings are scheduled this week in the Illinois Senate. Another burning topic involves whether or not the state should outlaw smoking in all public workplaces, including bars and restaurants. Several communities have already approved local bans. While the Senate gave its okay for a prohibition, critics say it's best left up to communities to decide. The legislature is scheduled to adjourn its spring session at the end of May. I'm Sean Crawford.
The number of businesses contesting the governor's business tax proposal continued to mount. Yesterday, some in the Champaign area took out their frustrations on state lawmakers. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
A local forum brought out farmers, the owners of small businesses like ice cream and coffee shops, and one who works in developmental care. Like many, Alan Ryle says he'd have to look over state lines to purchase food and medicine for residents in the homes he operates.
Everything that you would buy for your own household, I have 500 people I'm buying for in 31 different sites.
Business leaders point out how the gross receipts tax proposal pyramids or taxes the manufacturer of goods purchased through each step of the process. And Republican Chapin Rose of Mahomet says the plan will take its toll everywhere, including the gas pump.
The oil is sold at the point in which it's refined, at the point in which the wholesaler buys it from the refinery, and the point in which the retailer sells it to the consumer. By the time you add all that up at $3 a gallon, you're probably looking at a 10 to 12 cent increase, maybe as high as 15 cents, depending on how high the price of gas gets this summer, the summer driving season.
Rose says he's unsure of what kind of revenue proposal will pass in Springfield, but he says all bets are off if the session extends into June and nothing has been decided. He was one of four Republicans, joined by two Democrats from the area, opposing the governor's plan. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The number of homeless people recorded in a January week in Champaign County went up by 39% over the same study the previous year. But the chair of the group that commissioned the survey adds some cautions to that figure. The Urbana-Champaign Continuum of Care polled shelters and soup kitchens and conducted their own counts on the streets during the week of January 21st. It found 429 people classified as homeless, up from 308 in the previous year. The group's chair, Darlene Kleppel, says participation by various police departments and other agencies varies from year to year.
We also lose people that might be living with a relative during that week, which sometimes happens during the cold season, that a relative might take in, say, a mother and children for a couple of weeks when it's really cold, but then they end up being back on the street again.
But Kleppel says a rise in the number of homeless single-parent and two-parent families points out a gap in services. She says Champaign County has no place for families to go when the parents and children are of different genders. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. There's a lot of talk these days in Washington about creating new laws to cut greenhouse gas emissions. One major question right now is how the government will handle carbon dioxide emissions from vehicles. Any new regulation is expected to have some financial impact on automakers. And as Dustin Dwyer of the Environment Report tells us, the car makers are looking to share the burden.
Back in March, the House Energy and Commerce Committee held a hearing on how the auto industry could help fight global warming. All the big wigs in the U.S. auto industry were there, the heads of Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, the North American president of Toyota, and the head of the United Auto Workers. At the hearing, all of them agreed they would support a cap on CO2 emissions from vehicles. But they had a sort of caveat.
We believe that there's a lot of merit to it, and we believe if it's upstream.
For cap and trade, I think the further upstream you go, the more efficient you're going to be.
I'll just echo the upstream part.
The upstream, as I stated earlier, and the rest is absolutely critical.
That was Ron Gettelfinger of the UAW, Jim Press of Toyota, Alan Mulally of Ford, and Tom Lasorda of Chrysler. So what do they mean by upstream? Here's Ford spokesman Mike Moran.
Lower carbon fuels, so that it's just not what comes out of the tailpipe, but you're moving upstream and including the fuels that would be included in the equation in the transportation sector.
Basically, the idea is if you have less carbon in the fuel, you'll pump less carbon dioxide into the air. But car companies really can't take the carbon out of fuel. That's really more of a job for the oil industry. So are auto executives just passing the buck? David Friedman of the Union of Concerned Scientists says, yeah, they're dodging the issue.
The auto companies are basically finding more creative ways to say no, they won't do anything to improve their products.
Auto executives would say they're already working to improve their products, with millions of ethanol-capable vehicles on the road and a growing number of gas-electric hybrids. And many in the auto industry feel that they've been singled out for regulation in the past. The carmaker's main lobbying group, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, says that for the past 30 years, the auto industry has been the only industry subject to carbon dioxide regulations. Though most people try to avoid saying so in public, there is clearly some tension between the auto industry and the oil industry. Lewis Burke is with ConocoPhillips. He says his company is willing to do more to cut greenhouse gas emissions. In fact, the oil company just came out in favor of setting up mandatory federal rules. Those include a possible system that caps carbon dioxide emissions and allows companies to trade carbon credits as if they were commodities.
You can cap and trade at some point down within the value chain, whether it's all the way upstream or whether it's, you know, pretty far downstream. You can also apply a carbon tax. some way or throughout the whole value chain. The whole idea is it's got to be transparent. It can't penalize any one group.
So upstream, downstream, the point is something needs to be done. David Friedman of the Union of Concerned Scientists says everyone can do a little more.
Everyone has to do their part. That means car companies have to produce vehicles to get more miles to the gallon. Oil companies need to have lower carbon fuels. And yes, even consumers need to find ways to drive less.
It's still not clear exactly what approach Congress will take toward cutting auto emissions. But while leaders in Washington try to settle on a plan, local and state officials across the country are coming up with their own plans. California and 10 other states have their own plans to regulate tailpipe emissions. Those plans are being challenged in court by the auto industry. And California has also gone forward with the nation's first low-carbon standard for fuels. That upstream plan has the support of both auto and oil companies. For the Environment Report, I'm Dustin Dwyer.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Forecast looks not bad for the next few days. In fact, although we do have some rain mixed in spots, our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser does call for a few scattered sprinkles this afternoon in northern and western Illinois, but mostly sunny elsewhere, and highs ranging from 58 near Lake Michigan today to 75 in some central and southern locations. The forecast for tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a few widely scattered sprinkles and lows ranging from 35 in northeast Indiana to 49 south. For tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny in northwest Illinois, but elsewhere, a mix of sunshine with a few scattered showers and sprinkles, and highs ranging from 45 degrees near Lake Michigan to 67 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.